I know you feel this.
And it feels so good. That's all I got. Grizzled Veterans!
All right, we are back.
Episode 11, ladies and gentlemen.
On our new home, which you'll find about shortly.
Countdown to extinction. Yes. I see you wrote that down there. What is that pertaining to?
I don't know, it's 2012. Who knows what the hell is going to happen, right?
That's true. Forgot about that. The mind date. What is that, the 21st?
Yeah, first day of winter.
That's right.
The 21st. But honestly, December. You know, if anything was going to happen, you're not going to notice the day of.
No, I'll live.
Yeah, we'll still get Christmas in.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. Anyway, lots of big games coming out. The holiday rush is here.
We're on.
Donovan, what have you been up to?
Well, when I'm not playing Skyrim.
You're back on Skyrim?
Well, I've been pretty addicted, but yeah, I got Halo 4.
That's cool.
And it's... Halo 4, man. If you got an Xbox, you might as well just go out and buy it right now.
Now, Skyrim, did you check out the new, the Dragonborn?
Well, I've seen the trailer.
The trailer for the...
And it looks really cool.
It does.
And then the story behind it looks really cool, too. Like, this original Dragonborn...
Yeah.
...coming back.
But everyone thought that you would have been able to ride dragons, or in the original game.
Oh,
so now
yeah.
They're finally implementing it, but it seems, you know, come on, it was about time.
Sure. No, I think it's cool. I'm a little more intrigued. Not that I wasn't with the Dawnguard DLC, but this one actually whets my appetite a little bit more than that did. So I might pick it up. But man, yeah, it's been sucking the life out of me.
That's cool. It did that to me. 160 hours. That's
yeah,
what I put
and
into
I'm
it.
Probably gonna get close to that myself. But yeah, been playing a lot of Halo 4.
Yeah.
Not quite done the story yet, but it's been great. It looks fantastic. Sound is fantastic. It plays fantastic. It's certainly, like some people are saying, one of the best or maybe the best Halo game.
That's what I've heard.
It feels right. It just feels right. Anybody that's enjoyed the Halo universe, for me, that's what it is. I'm less the multiplayer guy and more like the campaign player.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy the story, the characters, and in this game in particular, they've really raised the bar as far as character development and interaction, and like the relationship between Cortana and the Chief is much more fleshed out than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a higher emotional attachment to the characters now. So,
well, I'm emotionally attached to you, Donovan.
Oh, shucks.
That's what I'm emotionally attached to. Well, I've been doing the AC3s, and I've been doing a few other things. But before we jump into all this stuff, what we're doing, let's talk about that new Grand Theft Auto V trailer.
Hey, yeah.
Looks pretty awesome.
It does. And coming from a guy that doesn't really play Grand
Theft
Auto...
I didn't love Grand Theft Auto 4 at all.
Okay.
And I played Grand Theft Auto 3 so much that even Vice City and San Andreas, I didn't finish. Because my problem with Grand Theft Auto is not... The worlds are incredible, but I did everything in 3 that the appeal of doing all those, you know, just driving around for the sake of driving around and stealing cars and doing taxi missions and firefighting missions and killing people for the hell of it.
Yeah.
All that wore off because I did so much of it.
Right.
That when I just wanted to stick to the stories in Vice City and San Andreas, what I find with these games is gameplay-wise and mechanics-wise, they don't do anything excellent.
Mm.
The driving is just good.
Yeah.
The shooting is pretty bad, or at least it was. You know, the running mechanics, the mission checkpoints and things weren't awesome. So, on a purely game aspect, main story just pushing through, they're not incredible, to me at least.
Well, I mean,
what you get with Grand Theft Auto to love
them is the whole package.
Right, yes.
Yeah. And the points that you just brought up are certainly not alien to me. I've heard the same things about Grand Theft Auto before. And I, in fact, feel the same way because I think that's part of the reason why I didn't latch onto those games like some of my other friends did.
Mm-hmm.
And my experience with Grand Theft Auto has mostly been just mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hand the controller off to somebody and let's see how much damage we can cause.
Let's play cool music and go around. And that's one thing. I've always loved the music they play. But this seems to be, well, by if the trailer's any indication, you never know. But it seems to be they're refining some of the options that they have.
It would only make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're well aware that, you know, there were weak points in their gameplay.
Sure, but if Red Dead Redemption's any indication, where the mechanics were, they really stepped up. For me, that was, it's fully realizing what a sandbox game can truly be.
Right.
It's doing everything awesome and making you want to explore all over again.
Well, and this is going back last generation, but I think that's what the big appeal with Spider-Man 2 was. It was a well-executed sandbox game with Spider-Man, so you had the good controls where you could, like, swing around the city and that kind of thing.
Talking about The Amazing Spider-Man?
The Spider-Man 2 movie game.
Oh, no, but there was an Amazing Spider-Man movie that was very cartoony. You could play half with Venom.
Right.
Which was awesome.
Oh, yeah?
Dude, the game is awesome. Like, the free swinging and everything?
Yeah.
That's the game I play.
Well, and that's kind of what I'm talking about with this.
Okay.
Yeah, and so... Yeah, guess what we're doing, kids. Anyway, some of us work all day and then come doing podcasts, so, you know, that's the way it goes, kids. But yeah, I mean, you want the storytelling and the gameplay to be, you know, on par with each other.
Sure, but I mean, Rockstar's always done a great job building characters, and that's prevalent in the trailer.
Yeah.
The characters are already very appealing. I liked how they edited it, and for... Like, Grand Theft Auto games have always looked good, but it's got its own appeal. I would never put it graphically up against the top-notch games.
Well, sure.
Or even mention the same breath, but it does so many things. But this game looks actually really good.
Oh, yeah, they've definitely...
And this is all in-game footage,
by absolutely. The way. Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't think that there'd be much in the way of
cinemas. No, all their trailers
are always going to be in-engine. Like, are there even cinemas in the game? I don't think so, right?
I know, they're not. Not
they're
that
all
I know.
In-engine cinemas, if there's going to be something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't make... Like, it makes perfect sense that, you know, with Red Dead... This next Grand Theft Auto game is going to have...
And they're going to have three protagonists.
Yes.
Three different characters, and they're linked somehow. And they seem appealing.
Well,
I have to admit, I wasn't really... I've been out of the Grand Theft Auto thing, like I just said, but this trailer made me much more interested in the game.
Well, and like you said, like, with these three guys, it looks like one is the main leader.
Yeah.
The older guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got... The scruffy-looking guy is the gun dealer, and then he's got the black dude.
The younger guy, yeah. I don't know. It looks really good. Spring.
Yeah.
God, so many games next year.
Well, and this is what...
And I say everyone's trying to... Because no one wants to go up against Grand Theft Auto. It's like Call of Duty that just came out, which we won't talk about because neither of us really care about
Call of Duty. Sorry, guys.
I made a good tweet today. Call of Duty is the Justin Bieber of video games.
Oh my goodness!
You know what I mean?
You get a flame war going over that.
Well, that's it. Like, everyone buys this shit, but no one likes it. Like, everyone seems to hate it, but it sells out like crazy.
And here's the thing: like, obviously, there would have been a midnight launch for it, right?
We'll see.
And I'm not sure. I heard a rumor that they sold 8 million copies already.
No way. But I'm sure they'll sell more than that.
Yeah. I certainly don't deny that they're going to sell a crap load of Call of Duty, but I don't know. I think the audience for Halo is a little more varied, maybe. I got told by a lot of guys that I work with that there were quite a few girls in line for the Halo. And
I think there's a lot of girls that play Call of
Duty. I know there's a lot
too.
Of girls that play Call of Duty as well, but I just think that's really cool that.
With such a huge crowd that plays Call of Duty.
Well, and to come up for a midnight launch, too.
Well, when I went for my Skyrim midnight launch, there was girls. Just in Brantford alone, there was 5 girls in the line, which was very cool.
Well, girls are not, you know, they're gamers now, just like we are.
Sure.
So I was like,
sure. But anyway, Grand Theft Auto, it looks awesome.
Mm.
And you wanted to talk about Halo 4.
Well, I'll get in a little bit. I'll give my quick review. We'll say I haven't quite finished the game, but I can give you what I've got so far.
Well, you don't have to finish, but early signs, and many people think it's pretty much game of the year worthy.
It's material for that for sure. I couldn't say yet if it's my pick for game of the year. That's something I would have to think about.
But you,
a little bit.
The other thing you were saying before we went live here is that it feels like playing some of the old Halo.
It does. It really feels like old Halo, but new, and I mean that in the best way possible. You know, the relationship between Cortana and the Chief is stronger than ever. The art in this game is just gorgeous. There's a lot of times where I'm coming into new areas stopping just to take it in because it's just breathtaking, really. And the music and the sound effects.
Yeah, it was, like I said, when I came in, you just were in the lobby area of the multiplayer and on the menu screens. The music's phenomenal.
It's great. It launched on a chart, which is something a game soundtrack has never done before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not super high, but it was like number 50 on some download chart. And I guess game soundtracks don't really chart that much, so that's saying something right there.
That's sad because video game music is excellent. You could put some of the music separate. I'm not saying on the radio, but I'm just saying to listen to against easy listening music or whatever. I bet you some people really enjoy it and they wouldn't even know it's a video game. Well, like, you don't have to tell them what it is.
Here's a good example of that. I make a compilation CD at Christmas time that I give out to a lot of my friends.
Okay.
And I'm going to be putting a track from Mass Effect on it this year.
Nice.
And quite possibly one from Halo as well. The music is that good. It's worth putting on my compilation. My compilation is a big deal.
Sort of a big deal. So, how far are you in the campaign?
I would say I'm about 3/4 of the way.
And you're enjoying it?
Oh, absolutely. I've been playing it on Heroic.
How many hours would that be?
Well, I take my time with these games a little bit more than some people do, so I probably take almost twice as long to get through it as, like,
It just matters whether you enjoy it or not.
Oh, yeah. So I would say the campaign's going to take anywhere from 7 to 15 hours, depending on your play style.
That's not too bad.
I mean,
it's not that long, but...
No,
it's not. I don't think people. You don't go in there for a 20-hour thing. 7 to 15 hours more than sufficient for first player.
And the thing about
it
too,
shooter.
You know, there's definitely replayability there because of, you know, there's challenges that they're issuing every week for every mode, campaign, multiplayer.
See, I like that. The support seems to be unparalleled for the multiplayer community, which is so important, not just to shooters now, but to every game.
Yeah,
everyone's stuffing multiplayer components in. And it's been that way. This generation's really ushered it in.
Well, it really gives you the incentive to come back and play more.
Mm-hmm. And like, as the listeners have known, I play a lot of Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, and which we talk about quite often. But I wanted them to do that.
Yeah.
Because that seems like, it seems easy. It seems tailor-made.
It's a simple
to have
thing.
That story elements, co-op missions, week to week or you know, bi-weekly or whatever. In that, and they never did that.
Yeah.
That's why that...
They added the challenges in now, which is one thing.
Yeah, but that's still bare bones. Yeah. It's just a banner and a couple random numbers that you gotta meet.
Yeah.
You know, and the banners don't do anything. This is why we're sorry. I don't want to get off. I'm gonna let you get back to Halo 3. But this is why I think the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer... actually, this can go into something because they just announced the new Mass Effect game that they're working on.
Well, yeah.
But we'll get to that in a sec. But I think the Mass Effect multiplayer was tacked on halfway through development. And it shows... Now, they've done a really good job with it, and they've run with it, but it's almost like a beta for the next game they'll release, which will go multiplayer, will be developed side-by-side with the campaign, and then you'll get all these things.
Well,
I apologize for derailing the conversation there.
Well, that's okay, because I think that, in a lot of ways, what you're saying, I mean, Halo's going to influence that with what they're
As
doing.
As it should, though. What I've seen, and... First-person shooters as a whole, as much as I rag on them, they've done many, many good things.
Yep.
Especially in multiplayer.
And they are trying to evolve.
The framework of their multiplayer is so strong and varied and in-depth and promotes competition. And this is what people like. This is why people play Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Sure, some of them, the bro shooter, and they can't go 5 seconds without shooting somebody, but that competitive nature, and there's always another game to hit, and another level to hit, and another weapon to unlock... Another prestige level, and it just keeps going and going and going.
Yeah.
And the way you get that, and then once you've done all the ones in one column, there's a whole different game mode to do.
Yeah.
And this is what is so important in today's atmosphere.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, multiplayer has become this. You could almost put out a game that's just multiplayer.
Oh,
now,
for sure.
You know,
for sure.
And as far as these shooters go, now apparently the campaign in this new Call of Duty does a few new things.
There was I think Kotaku did an article how they've added
branching
paths. Who put Mass Effect in my Call of Duty? That's what it was called.
Yeah. Oh, but did you hear about that? The second disc. In
Call
of Duty was actually Mass
that.
Effect 2.
Yeah, with the releases that Mass Effect 2 ended up.
Could you imagine buying this brand new game and the second disc is?
Well, if you haven't played
game.
Mass Effect 2, I you should feel lucky because it's probably better. But Anyway.
Take that.
But, no, like, I guess the single-player campaign in Black Ops 2 is really good.
Yeah.
And it offers different branching paths and things that won't even happen.
Multiple endings.
Based on what you do. And I respect that a lot. Yep. Because I think those games, if any, have really taken the tried-and-true formula and run with it. Similar to another game we're going to talk about after we finish with the Halo 4 conversation. In Assassin's Creed 3, or Ass Cream 3. But this one seems to break the mold, and although it is a first-person shooter, they're doing as much as they can with the framework, and although it's not my type of game, I can really respect that.
Yeah, and same here. I mean, I don't play the Call of Duty games, but I did, you know, I watched the review. You know, I gotta stay educated on this stuff, and I want to know what they're doing with it. And by the looks of it, and by the sounds of it, and by the review scores, they have done a top-notch job, and if my perspective, they one-upped Infinity Ward.
Good games are good for gaming.
Yeah.
So, no matter where they come from. And that's all I can feel good. But let's get back on the Halo 4 tip, because I think that this game requires, you know, its own segment.
You know, okay, well, getting back to this, the multiplayer stuff, too. You know, they get the Spartan Ops. And what they're doing with that is, well, right now we've just got Season 1. And that's 10 weeks and 50 missions. So, every week you get a new... I guess a new episode, and each episode has 5 chapters. Mm-hmm. And those chapters each take between 20 minutes and 45, depending on what difficulty you
play. Bite-sized.
But they're story-based.
You can jump in, jump out, and finish it.
Yeah.
Finish the segment.
And you can either
like
you can do them by yourself, or you can do them with up to 4 friends.
And you level up as you
do it. And you level up as you go. That's the you're taking your custom Spartan into these missions, just like you would in the normal multiplayer. But because there's story involved, you know, it's kind of like an evolution of the firefight mode from the previous Halos, where it was just like, well, Horde. Mm-hmm. And now they've thrown in story elements into there. They're kind of like what you would like to see in Mass Effect. So hopefully...
They just had a bit in the Uncharted 3 multiplayer.
Okay, yeah, with the co-op missions
there.
The
co-op missions that were slightly story-based, which is cool.
Yeah.
I played a few of them. I really enjoyed it.
And so, yeah, these missions are they're really good. I can't wait to check out the new ones, which I had, like, the new ones came out on Monday, and I actually got, I've been playing too much Skyrim, and then yesterday I couldn't play yesterday, I had a visitation I had to go to, unfortunately, but hey, I'm raving about Halo.
Raving?
It's
raving and craving?
Well, and then it's like, I don't play, Halo is my first person shooter.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like, that's the one that I play. And it has everything to do with the universe. I'm a sci-fi guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, everything I've said up till now, I'm giving this game a 9.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a great score.
Yeah.
But some scores are even higher.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, I'm not going to get...
I don't think I've seen any 10s, but it doesn't really matter.
No game gets a 10. No game is a 10.
Yeah, but a 10 doesn't mean perfect. A 10 means it is...
Everything it needs to be,
everything the genre offers for current space and time.
Yeah.
10 doesn't mean perfect, because there is no perfection.
Yeah, I don't believe in giving
Chrono
a 10.
Chrono Trigger's pretty close.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Chrono Trigger's pretty close.
Is that all you
want to talk about Halo 4? And you're just going to play the shit out of it. We'll talk about it again next time.
That's
once
the thing, you know,
it.
Once I get a little bit more, I'll finish the story, I'll get a little bit more multiplayer in, but... Basically, what I'm saying is the vibe I'm getting from people. I've got a ton of guys at work that are playing it. You know, we're all buying Doritos and Mountain Dew for a double experience.
Game journalism at its finest. Yeah. Jeff Keighley just peddling the Mountain Dew and Doritos.
Hey, do you think maybe we could get some kind of promo for that for ourselves, eh?
Yeah, maybe.
If I say Doritos and Mountain Dew again?
Whatever. The length of our promotions will go to like Jolt Cola and pork rinds.
Oh, shit.
Anyway,
all right. So yeah, that's good for Halo.
Yeah. So
and you've been playing
another big release was Assassin's Creed 3 that came out a couple weeks ago, and one of the most anticipated games of the year, just like Halo 4.
Absolutely.
Although Assassin's Creed 3 is cross-platform, multi-platform. It's a franchise to me that has always been about unfulfilled promise. The games have always looked incredible. The worlds have always been incredible. But the gameplay and story have always been lacking.
And that's what kind of kept me from... Because I picked up 2. Mm-hmm. I borrowed it off Ty, and I was playing that. And I probably played about 10 to 15 hours of it, and then I got bored.
Well, some people Herald 2 is the best of the series. It's not. Brotherhood is. But this is they've made these into annual releases, similar to Call of Duty, which we referred to earlier. And
they've tried to stretch it out too much, and the games have suffered because of it. Two and Brotherhood should have been one game.
Yep.
Because the mechanics in Brotherhood are much better, period, than they are in two. And the two stories, the main story of Desmond, the modern, although that's not what people play the game for, that's what the story's based
that
on.
Is the
everything
main story,
that
yeah.
happens with Ezio and Altair essentially doesn't really matter because you're just looking for something in the modern world and
right.
it's to carry forward.
Yeah.
Each game generally ends with a modern world segment, and then it carries forward. But I digress. Assassin's Creed 3 had a lot of hype, and it's been in development for 3 years now, which is a lot of people thought would herald in the revolution, and that was their tagline with the marketing campaign:
yeah.
"Ignite the revolution," because it takes place in the American Revolution
sure.
setting. I jumped in, and the game does look the games always look great,
mm-hmm.
so that's what I saw. I was anxious to see how it played, and the game it's disappointing. It's not a bad game, but it's not a great game. So in that way, only because of the hype, and it still carries on that unfulfilled promise to me.
Mm.
Now, I'm not super far into it, but I'm past what they call the prolonged tutorial.
Right.
Now, when I say prolonged tutorial, it's a tutorial that lasts relatively 6.5 hours,
mm-hmm.
which is absurd. The hand-holding that goes on at the beginning of this game is crazy. Now, the story is interesting.
Well, and I guess there's huge payoffs later on in the story for
well, I've seen a couple
beginning.
Of them. It's cool. But I don't other know the gameplay still is hit and miss. It's simplistic in the way it animates well.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still crawling. It's still one button to crawl to climb a building and run, and every once in a while he'll just jump to another spot, and you're like, why the fuck did he do
and
that?
And this is why I kind of put my controller down on two, is because the mechanics just weren't working for me as far as that stuff goes. And I had come off playing Arkham Asylum,
mm-hmm.
and I
Which
was
is,
like,
yeah,
you know, hand and foot better.
Yeah,
than
like you compare the two, and there's no comparison really. But in battle too, although the battle is better,
yeah,
because you can do different things with different weapons, it's still, you know, counter and attack. That's all it is. And this is what has been my biggest problem with the Assassin's Creed games or franchise. You're an assassin, yet the stealth mechanics in the game are severely lacking.
Mm.
So the feeling of, you just feel like a warrior most of the time. I don't feel like an assassin. I look like one.
Yeah.
But the assassin mechanics don't. The enemies behave stupidly too. Like, they'll fucking spot you in the most random places. And I'm like, how did that guy see me? And it just throws off the whole thing, because then I end up having to kill 25 guys to do what I'm doing. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to play like an assassin. I want to do rooftops. I want to hide and move from crowd to crowd. And it's very frustrating sometimes. But the game looks really good. And the open worldness of it they've added is nice. But what I'm finding is the overall setting, to me, isn't as appealing as what the past Assassin's Creed games with the huge ancient architecture.
Mm.
There's no huge buildings to climb from the Byzantium era.
Right.
Because this is a colony, you have
sure.
to remember.
So
that
everything's like low level.
Brick and low level. Now they try to extend certain things, and in the frontier you can climb trees
sure,
sometimes.
Right.
But on top of that, many of the mechanics of the game are very poorly explained. Your trade system, for instance, is, you know, how you make money. Whereas in the past games, you would own buildings and gain revenue from that to your homestead or whatever. This one, you don't do that. You have to get people to come settle on your homeland. Then you trade food and stuff. None of this shit is explained. It's very confusing, which is frustrating to me. And one of the coolest appeals, you could get new weapons and new armor sets. And going from mission to mission, there's really no markers that indicate you go to shops to buy new stuff. I've only bought like one or two, and I'm like, okay, cool. Whereas in past games, I was buying every single weapon. I wanted every new armor set to get the higher health and all this stuff. So I feel I don't even know they could do it, but they've dumbed it down even more.
Hmm.
There's a really cool twist everyone knows this, but you play a different character than the main character that's promoted at the beginning.
Well, he plays his father at the beginning.
Well, yes, if you don't know, but there's more to it than that.
Oh no, I spoiled it! And I had no...
But the game looks good, but the biggest problem is it's very buggy. The game carries on this tradition, which we're also going to talk about later. One of the overarching themes of the year for me has been day one patches and very buggy releases in our high-profile games. And this one is no different. Received a day one patch. I've seen harmless bugs, which I can live with. Like, Red Dead Redemption had hilarious bugs for open world. You know, you could ride a woman that transformed it from a horse that looked like a woman. Or and things that were funny like that.
Sure.
But this one, I've encountered mission bugs where I've been in a cinema and all of a sudden it just jumps forward in the mission and it's on high alert and I'm like, what the hell just happened? It makes no sense.
Right.
There's certain bugs that would make guards spot you consistently in this one spot. Now, they tried to fix it, but it still doesn't work perfectly. To another one where I fell in this chasm in the frontier, and it was a bottomless floor. Like, I didn't just die, like, because I missed a ledge.
Right.
And rather than dying, I just endlessly fell underneath the map and saw it. And the thing is, I did this 4 times. I repeated it because I couldn't find the way to get this trinket.
Okay.
So, I was doing it wrong, basically.
Well, yeah.
I was trying to jump this chasm, but I could see the thing down there, so I thought if I jumped off, I could just get the ledge in the proper timing. I eventually got it, but I missed 4 or 5 times, and each time was the exact same thing. Rather than dying when I hit the ground, I fell through the map. It was all like that. So, and there's more to it. The bugs are very prevalent.
Well, I mean, with these big open-world games like that, I mean, this is kind of something that pretty universal.
Yes, but this is a game...
Like Skyrim, I can remember going into a house that had no floors.
Yeah, you know, I mean, those like things that happen, but Skyrim was a new engine, okay? Yeah it's built on the Fallout engine, but it's created even bigger. But this is a game that works on the same framework that's been in place since this entire generation.
Did they not redesign this engine?
No, it's the same. It's called the Anvil Next engine. It's okay. The next evolution of it.
Sure.
But the game looks the same.
Right.
Yes, they've added animations and things, but the framework, the way everything works is the exact same as has been in every Assassin's Creed game. And this one was worked on for 3 years. You'd think they'd have this stuff. There's a lot of bugs. People, every major site and review has commented on it. Some hate the game. Some still think it's good, but, you know, certain things hold it back. Universally, though, I think it's disappointing. I'm not going to say I dislike the game. It's a good game.
Yeah.
It's a good game and it's entertaining. Like I said, I don't know why I finished every Assassin's Creed game because I don't even love the franchise. But there's something about those games
right.
that appealed to me, and I'll bring it back all the way to the beginning, and I think it's that promise. They tickle me. They get me invested because I'm thinking there's so much potential in right. this world. But it's yet to be realized, and Assassin's Creed 3 doesn't realize it. But I still recommend people play it. It's a good game.
Sure.
But just don't expect the game of the year like a lot of people were touting,
okay.
and Ubisoft
yeah.
itself. I really recommend that they get more in-depth with their gameplay and flesh out the story better. Maybe just forget the entire
Assassin's
Templar thing completely, because it doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
Because you know what they want to do now? After they did the 3 games with Ezio, now they want to test the waters with Connor, and we could end up seeing 2 half-sequels with this character that's...
I sincerely hope not.
Well, and I hope not, too, because, like...
Because the American Revolution era is not that interesting to carry through. This isn't ancient Europe, and, you know...
Well, what are they going to do? Keep going closer to the present, and if they do that...
I would have no problem with a modern-day Assassin's game. None at all. I think it'd be very cool. An Asian one. In, you know, in ancient China or something like that.
Yeah.
Dynasty China, the building of the Great Wall.
Samurai.
There's lots of different things that they could do. But who knows? Maybe offer multiple different time periods. I don't know. But it's not so much... The setting. The settings are fine. even the American Revolution, I have no gripes with it. It's actually quite interesting.
When you get a lot of history.
Oh, it's great. And that has been the strong suit of the franchise. But it's the gameplay that falters.
Well, and again, that's precisely why I didn't continue playing. And mm-hmm. I got to the point where I was like, these controls just don't work for me.
Yeah.
Too many times I'm jumping
into places
I don't want to go.
I do not feel like an assassin enough. Too many times it delves down to... Like, I'm trying my best to be stealthy, and I'm good at it. Like, I can do big boss runs, and no one can see me in Metal Gear Solid.
Mm-hmm.
I've got platinums in Metal Gear Solid 3,
yep.
Near 1 and 2. I've done big boss runs in all the games. I did it in 4. I've yet to do it for the trophies, well, since the patch. But
right.
I can do... I'm good at stealth. I'm patient. And there's just unexplained shit that I can't understand why they can see me.
Well, it's true. And I mean... He's wearing white.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's nothing... But his outfit, I've thought they always look extremely cool, the way they walk.
The costumes are very cool.
Just jutting out those dual blades in the arms, it's extremely cool. I have no problem with the character and the way their arsenal and stuff like that. Like I said, the way the game looks and the settings are incredible. But the gameplay, to me, I want to feel like an assassin. I've never really felt like one.
Hmm.
But if you can actually do a mission where you do it properly the way you would foresee like an assassin doing it, it feels really rewarding. You know what they need? The Hitman games, and actually I we're not going to talk about it, although the new one I think just came out today.
Is it today?
Hitman Absolution.
Is it out today? Okay.
But that's a game that makes you feel like a Hitman assassin perfectly. And that is, the mechanics of it are lauded. It's not as popular as the Splinter Cells and the Metal Gears and things like that, but there are so many options to do things stealthy. You can go in guns blazing, but there's so many different things you can do. Poison food, and this is what Assassin's Creed needs.
Yeah. And I definitely think you got a very valid point there.
You know, like, each mission needs...
Looking back...
For instance, Dishonored. Dishonored has so many different ways. You're basically an assassin in that.
Right.
A supernatural assassin, be it, but you're an assassin nonetheless. So many different ways to infiltrate. To kill somebody. You don't even have to kill them sometimes. And the story changes.
Right.
Which is awesome. Awesome. Assassin's Creed needs that. And it would make the game so much better. So, anyway, Ass Cream 3, 7.5 out of 10.
Okay. And Dishonored, you would say, is the better game as far as...
Right now, let's move on to our big topic, and then we can get our front runners for some game of the year.
Okay.
That you feel right now and different things. Our big overarching theme of this podcast is going to be, what will this year be remembered for? 2012.
Yeah.
2011, fantastic game year.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of games, fully loaded. And even people in 2013, the first two quarters are just chock full of releases.
Oh, we're getting blockbuster after blockbuster.
Honestly,
next year.
To me, 2013, it looks like an even stronger year than 2011 was.
Yeah.
And that's insane. So 2012, I think a lot of people get this feeling that it was a weak year for games. Sales have sort of declined.
Well, I mean, yes, there were good games that came out this year, but it certainly wasn't the year that was last year.
No, but every year has its merit.
Yeah.
It's always remembered for something, generally. Whether it's a release that defined it or there's a story that defines it. This year, I think, is...
More of a news year.
If you delve underneath the game layer... And there were a lot of releases that hold merit and that will be remembered. But there are a lot of very interesting stories. And I think we're going to outline a few.
Sure.
What for you, why don't you go ahead, Donovan?
Well, I mean, the first one that popped into my head was the Mass Effect controversy.
Okay, can we leave that one? Because for me, that's the biggest story. To me, personally.
Well,
I'm not saying it's going to be what this year's remembered for.
Right.
But to me, personally, that's the biggest, and that's when I like to go last. But there's just as big as stories.
Well, like, even tying into that is the BioWare departures, Cliffy B. And Cliffy B's been doing some interesting tweets lately.
Trolling hard.
Because he's all over the place.
Trolling hard, man.
You know, he's in hotels getting... Blackberries with Ubisoft's phone number on it, and like he's tweeting back saying,
interesting. You know, Activision sign.
I've got some skills that
Resident Evil 6
I've been working on for a long time. I'd be an asset to people like you.
And like Capcom, he said he helped him fix Resident Evil.
You know, and I think he's having a lot of fun with it.
So the shakeup in the game industry is a story.
There's a big shakeup this year.
Which is true because so I think we talked about this last episode. Was many companies are now switching to mobile. Some are, or even some first-party studios are being let go, and a lot of different things are changing in this industry, and it has to do with the sales decline as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at Nintendo. I mean, with the DS and the 3DS suffering because of mobile gaming, and, you know, I've...
Well, 3DS not so much, more of the Vita, but even still, 3DS has not seen the successes that the DS had had.
Mm.
The DS was an astronomical success. And absolutely. Not, 3DS is successful. But it doesn't see the numbers that the DS.
Well, and the just thing more about competition. It too, though, is that like the 3D gimmick is kind of worn off already.
Oh, I've been worn off, yeah.
Well, that's what, you know, you got this 3D system, then games are coming out for it that aren't even really fully utilizing the 3D. But what my point was basically is that, you know, like the casual gaming market has shifted to a lot of the mobile devices from, say, you know, people that started off by playing Wii, the casual gaming. That back in 2006, and mobile gaming wasn't nearly what it is. Well, it wasn't anything.
Well, the infrastructure wasn't there, and now it is.
And now it is. And
but the problem is that gaming right now is at a crossroads in terms of big budget and how much it costs based on return. And it doesn't. The risks aren't as prevalent with mobile games and iOS games as they are on the other side, and the returns can be so much more lucrative. And even if it's a complete miss, they don't lose that much. They don't have to lay off 150 people. They, you know, it's just a small company that works on it. But I think there's amalgamation of things that have contributed to the sales decline. But we'll see how that all plays out. Everyone's, they got to make a news story, right? So it's the doomsday of gaming right now. But every game, trust me, games are still very successful, not compared to last year or the year before, but it's going to come back because, well, the new consoles are on the horizon.
Well, yeah, and that kind of leads me to the question of is, like, is the Wii U
next generation?
Well, it's not, and I mean, like, it's not even, where's the big, shouldn't the Wii U be a bigger news
event but, than it is? It's, yeah, to me, it's like a such an oversight right now. That's how I feel. Although Nintendo will tout numbers that it's the highest, it's broke the Wii numbers in terms of pre-order. But to me, I feel no buzz for it.
That just means there's more available than there were of the Wii U. No?
True. True.
They've made more available.
Yeah, so. But it doesn't matter. They're still selling. You know,
and that's the thing. Pre-order. I know that the Wii U is going to sell big initially.
But
is it going to resonate?
It's afterwards. And I don't think it will, but I definitely 2012 is not going to be the year of the Wii.
No.
Okay, I'll take the reins here in a couple of days. I wrote a blog about this exact topic, and that's why I brought it and we want to talk about it. What was I talking about? Could be the year of the with Assassin's Creed, the buggy games, and the day one patches.
Yep.
So many major releases have seen buggy. I'm not saying every year hasn't had buggy games and patches that have made it better.
Resident Evil 6, Halo 4,
XCOM, Assassin's Creed 3. Jesus, I can't think of one game that doesn't have one. Major release.
I think Transformers had a day one, but I can't remember.
Yeah, but like almost so many. It's day one patches are so prevalent that the Wii U, we're just talking about, has a day one patch to add network connectivity. That's the thing. All these people that got early Wiis
couldn't Wii connect Us, to their Wi-Fi.
Everyone's like, how about the internet? How's the internet? The internet, the network infrastructure. They're like, we'd love to tell you, but it's not active yet. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts.
So this is something that is rampant and to me needs to be fixed ASAP because a lot of gaming experience this year have been ruined for me due to buggy games. And I don't know whether they're pushing games out too quick because of deadlines, too overinflated budgets, trying to get them done because the next generation's coming and they want to move on to that and start working on that.
Well, that's
it. Could be a number of things, but you know what? These games are suffering, and I'm suffering as a game player And I've almost made the decision now to really back off day one purchases, which I've never done in my entire life. I have the money, I can buy whatever games I want, and I do, but now I'm like, what incentive is there for me to buy a game day one when it's broken as shit?
Yep.
And then I can get it a month and a half later, probably for $15 to $20 cheaper, and it works. So why the fuck am I going to spend $65?
And this is something that I've actually heard coming up in other podcasts too, you know, like...
You're just chasing me away, and I want to give you my money.
Yeah.
And I have been giving you my money, well, but you're kicking me in the nuts.
Like, we want... I'm sure we both want to pick up Metal Gear Rising when it comes out day one.
Well, yeah, and the demo was awesome, by the way. It is awesome, and I think it'd be a great game. But, and I sincerely hope that's not going to be buggy, but... knowing Platinum and knowing Kojima and Konami, it's not going to be.
I doubt it will be.
Although Bayonetta on the PS3 was, but they never repeated that again. No. So I'll give them a one-off pass. But they did fix that with the patch.
Yeah.
Which plays into this, but that's a patch that was incredible. So who knows? What was the other story I was telling you?
Oh, it's downloadable games.
Yes. This also, another point is, this could be the year where... digital releases have really gotten their recognition, rightfully so. Maybe because it's a weaker year for retail releases. But I'd like to think that it's on their own merit.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a year that's seeing digital-only releases for PSN and XBLA see serious consideration for Game of the Year. Yep. And many top awards. It's the first year, really, that I've seen that if you aren't in on the digital in... for both of these networks here, you're possibly missing out on some of the best games of the year.
Yeah.
And if not the best.
Well, I mean, for me, Journey stands out as probably
huge.
The best downloadable game that I've played.
Journey, the Telltale's Walking Dead series, which will finish up this month. It's all about how it finishes, but if the first four episodes are any indication, it's going to be incredible.
Sure.
The Unfinished Swan, which I've yet to play, but I've heard nothing but great things about.
Mm-hmm.
It's like bite-sized, you know, 2.5 hours, 2 hours, like Journey, but completely different.
Right.
Mark of the Ninja, game by Klee, the Shank developers, which does stealth mechanics a fuck of a lot better than Assassin's Creed 3.
Right.
I don't understand how they get it right, but a huge game like this can't. Like, to me, like, well, that game...
Doesn't it almost feel like...
I think the Metacritic on Mark of the Ninja is like 94.
Oh, wow.
And the game looks... I've loved Shank games. That graphic style appeals to me.
Oh, they're great.
Looks incredible.
The art style's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So you have games like this that are show stealers at bite-sized prices. I don't think any of them are above $20.
No. Mark of the Ninja's $15.
Journey was $14.99. East Telltale thing was... They're $4. But I got the first two for free from sure. PlayStation Plus.
Well, let's say you paid $20 altogether.
Yeah, even still, it's awesome. Hours of... So this could be the year that digital releases see the recognition they deserve. But that doesn't mean past years haven't had notable releases. No. It's just they seem to get buried.
And you have a point when you say, like, because of the sort of lesser amount of AAA titles coming out, that might put a more focus on the digital content. And
there's still been a lot of games this year, though.
Oh, no.
Especially in the latter half, we may not have seen as many holiday releases this year, but there's still some big games. And I find myself still remembering the digital games.
But you say there's a lot of holiday games, but I can't think of more than...
Well, not the holiday... When I think of holiday, I think like even October.
Sure.
Where Dishonored and you know, XCOM came out, although it was disappointing. But the other story that it could be the year of Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah.
The first year that Kickstarter... And I want to thank the MyIGN crew, because this was a story that I completely forgot about. And a couple people think it's undoubtedly going to be the year of the Kickstarter. And it's hard for me to deny that.
Now that you bring that up, I mean...
It could be. This would be the year that Kickstarter and the people got their voices.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, everything was Kickstarter this year. And almost to the point where I was getting sick of seeing Kickstarter.
Well, it was
products.
On the tip of my tongue because I've yet to support anything or find anything that I wish to support. Although I just saw something about a Quest for Glory game. Is it Quest for Glory? Old PC games. I hope I'm getting titles right. King's Quest, maybe. I don't know which one it was. But I used to love those games. That's the one I might toss $5 to.
Sure.
But Kickstarter went even so far to... kickstart a brand new console.
Well, yeah.
The Ouya.
Yeah.
Ouya. I don't even know how to say it. Ouya. But it remains to be seen how the hell that's going to play out. But it's cool nonetheless, and people feel, you know, passionate enough about this stuff. Now, it just curtails the games with us, well, but even it's huge. It's anything.
Even Screw Attack did a Kickstarter so that they can do their gaming convention next year.
That's awesome, and I bet you they probably got above and beyond what they needed.
They were looking at getting $100,000, and they actually beat it.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
people are passionate about their games.
Yep.
And hey, who am I to say not to do what you're passionate about?
Absolutely.
There's always people out there that are, you know, ready to jump in on the ground level to get something started.
You know, we're doing something apart from
our
hobby.
Kickstart this goddamn podcast. Kickstart Jason Rose and Donovan Ozeak into gaming stardom right now.
We need it. Now.
Now. I need it now. I need $150,000 of liquid cash right now for streaming equipment. I need makeup people. I need a producer.
Makeup people.
Make it happen.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You talk about the equipment and stuff. I entered the contest last week.
Yes, I did for the AverMedia Capture HD.
I didn't win it, but
I didn't either. But I probably unfollowed them.
You probably unfollowed them?
Because they were on the Umacon stream.
Umacon or whatever it was.
Yeah, Umacon. I think that's right.
Yeah.
But anyway, it could be your Kickstarter. Those are three amazing stories that are newsworthy, not exactly a game worthy.
Yeah.
But even last year, the overarching theme was great games, not just a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like Portal 2 was, I think, won most of the games of the year last year.
It won a lot of Game of the Year awards last year.
It did, won a ton. But I don't remember 2011 as the year of Portal 2.
No.
Not at all. I remember tons of games, Portal 2 included,
mm-hmm.
which I did thoroughly enjoy.
Well, I guess for me, high up on my list would have been Arkham City.
Arkham City was my game of the year last year.
Yeah, so
it was more than Portal 2.
Yeah.
I thought Arkham City, I can't remember playing a better game since playing it, truthfully, even now. I loved it.
I've gone through it twice.
Yeah.
I did the...
You know, I've yet to play that downloadable content.
Really? Harley's Revenge?
Harley's Revenge.
I
was thinking about it the other day. I'm like, why haven't I... I want to go back and play the entire game. I just don't have any time. But for me, the story of the year is going to be the Mass Effect 3 controversy, good or bad, and how that ended up. Just because Mass Effect is such a franchise, you know about it. I've gone
anybody that's listening to this podcast.
And now I'm not going to get into the particulars. I'm going to try and take a very what am I thinking of here? Unbiased stance with this.
This is one of the biggest gaming stories I can think of in ever.
Like
only because gamers spoke up so loudly that they actually managed to get this company to make this content. I mean,
I'll just start with this. It was a game and ending of a franchise beloved by all, but it had so much hype and so many expectations that it could have never lived up to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sad because the game was rushed at the end. The final third of the game was rushed.
Yeah.
A few of the mechanics suffered due to the time limits EA imposed. There's been people that come on the unnamed sources that they wanted more time. They had to beg and plead just to get that extra 5 months from November to March.
Really?
And needed it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's never been an official statement on how the multiplayer came in, but I think anyone with half a brain can suspect that the multiplayer really took away from developing some of the components.
Well, did they
for Mass Effect?
But did they
3.
Not have a separate team for multiplayer?
They did, but who's to say that pulled off to go somewhere else?
Yeah, okay.
You don't know. I mean, these are just way some people defend. Now, I hate talking about this because Mass Effect 3 is still a very, very good game.
Honestly, I would still put it on.
It has the best combat
on my list as far as game of the year. I mean,
it's not on mine, but it's only because of the things we're about to talk about.
It
leaves a very bad taste in my mouth. But, well, let me go on. What was I saying? Oh, you got me off topic now. There's another thing I talk about, but I was talking about something else. But anyway, rewind the record. Multiplayer took away, but there's a lot of elements that I felt were underdeveloped. The war asset systems just ended up being a number. To me, it seems obvious that these things were intended for so much more that would play into the end credits. Who live or die, who would show up, who would die in the end credit cinematic. You know, because every cinematic was the same at the end. Now, this all may, you may think it all rolls up into the end, but it doesn't. The ending, yes, may be the icing on the cake of slight disappointment, but that is just part of it. There are many aspects of the Mass Effect 3 game that I was very disappointed in. The lack of the Reaper identity caused me to be very disappointed. And I think this goes into them listening to the fans too much in the development of their game, because I don't know where, this is what I heard on the boards and I read this, I don't know where they heard or felt that Harbinger was annoying. This is what I hear. I've never heard anyone say, and this is why Harbinger,
I just tilted my head just in case you were wondering.
Exactly. I've never heard Harbinger was annoying. He stole the show in Mass Effect 2. And the, giving the voice to the collectors, giving the Reapers an identity. It was after Sovereign in the first game. The Reapers have always had an identity.
Sure.
The third game, where they're the right in your face, they have no identity. These are the bad guys. Yes, at the end, you get Starchild, but that is not an identity for the bad guys.
But this digresses from the main thing we're talking about here, as far as like...
Yeah, I'm getting caught up again.
Yeah,
you're right.
Got caught up.
I do what I do to you, or you just did what I do to you sometimes.
Absolutely, I had to do
Thank you for that, because I'm just going to go on, man. I'm getting all hyped up.
I was like, you totally lost focus on what you were actually trying to say.
But you're right, it couldn't live up, but it, good or bad, the controversy came up from the fans. There was good came from it. People united. There were some really good, mature talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, there was two-hour videos put together trying to assist or theorize how
it was supposed to work.
And there was the bad. There was the death threats, the crazy talk that circumvents the process of what people are trying to accomplish. But what this shows is that the game did fall short when it mattered the most in the storytelling. And just because it's the culmination of a series, it's unparalleled input that the gamers have had in creating this story for them.
Yeah.
And we were promised questions from the producers too, and every promise that was made was not fulfilled. And I think that's where a lot of the focus came from and a lot of the frustration came from. But personal feelings aside, they went ahead and made the extended DLC, which is unprecedented as well. Mm. Actually, no, that's not true, because this has happened in Fallout.
Added an ending in Fallout.
And a couple other things. So it's not exactly unprecedented. I was wrong. But it's sad. Overall, Mass Effect 3 shouldn't be remembered
for the controversy.
For the controversy, but it will.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is the story of the year. And that's what I'll remember for 2012. But I think the end thing, I've played Mass Effect 1 and 2 multiple times. I still can't bring myself to play Mass Effect 3 again.
I will. I've played through 1 3 times. I've played through 2 twice, although almost.
The day they give me another full-time party member from a DLC is the day I probably go back. Because another one of my major complaints was the weakness of the party I had to choose from.
Yeah.
And now I'm hoping with the Omega DLC, either Arya or the female Turian that they're including in it could be a full-time party member, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I wouldn't get my hopes up.
Which is sad, because the price on it is like $20.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm thinking for that amount,
$20.
Give us a character, one of them that carries over to the single-player campaign, like Zaid or Kasumi did in Mass Effect 2. But and it's sad also because Mass Effect 3 accomplished so much with their multiplayer as well. So much, in fact, that some people may argue that the multiplayer portion is actually superior to the single-player portion.
Well, I mean, there's still tons of people playing it.
Me. Yep. And they're still doing so much for it. I think they're making money hand over fist on it.
Oh, they're doing great support for the multiplayer. I'll give them that much.
Mm-hmm. So for you, out of all those, I think that covers it all. What's the story that you feel defined this year?
I have to kind of agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, what was really bigger than that? Nintendo didn't do anything to make the Wii U a big story.
No.
Microsoft and Sony are both getting ready to launch new systems, so they've been pretty quiet.
And I think on top of the huge glut of games at the first two quarters, the big story of 2013 is the impending shadow of the 720 and the PS4.
And I think Nintendo's got a lot to worry about.
I do too, and I don't think they do.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to be, once that engine starts, I'm doing the slow motion locomotion animation for the wheels turning. Once that juggernaut gets going, could the Wii U be the Dreamcast all over again?
Or the game, second GameCube, really.
Yeah. Well, the GameCube still sold okay, but it wasn't, like, it didn't crush a company, you know? I just think the juggernaut's there, but who knows?
Well, here's the
thing.
We're
teeter-tottering on so many different entertainment options with games. Can games bounce back? We'll see. I think they need to come up with a new design structure because budgets cannot bloat more. You have to streamline more. And whether that means Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo need to give more tools and more cuts to help these developers, I don't know what it is. And because I'm not supremely familiar with the publishing and developing aspects, but something has to change because developers can't afford to put $100 million in a game and have it tank and then they're out of the business in one game. Well, that shouldn't happen.
And here's the thing, like if for this first year of the Wii U, you're going to see games coming out on all three systems. But what happens when...
That's it.
The new systems come out.
I pose this exact question to it, a Nintendo guy.
And then Nintendo is going to be left in the same position they were with the Wii, where if they wanted to bring Call of Duty or something out
these companies aren't going to marginalize.
They're going to have a completely separate team to make this game just for that system. It's not going to happen.
And take them down a notch. Or, like, do you not make the game as good as you can on the top two platforms...
Just to make it work on the Wii U, and that's not going to happen either.
That's not going to happen. So it remains. There's so many options. We talked about this in our Nintendo episode, I think, too.
A little bit.
But it's there's so many variables that we could probably talk for 2 hours about the Wii U.
I wish there was a new Metroid.
I do too.
I don't expect it to be a new Zelda yet because it's too soon after Skyward Sword.
Mm-hmm.
But this Nintendo,
I think it should launch with the new Zelda game. I mean, just make it happen.
Yep.
It's not like every Zelda breaks the mold.
No.
A fucking thing like Skyward Sword, why? Because you waggle? Like, it's stupid.
Yeah.
They're all the same.
Yeah.
I want them to get out, and I want to put their balls on the line and make something different.
Yeah.
Just make it different.
Well, they don't even have Pikmin out on release. And the Mario Brothers game...
Release window. And their window, I guess...
Keeps getting bigger.
For them, is like 9 months. Yeah. I've never heard of that before.
But I mean, like... I'll admit, I'm not, like, Mario crazy by any means. I like Mario games, but I can't even tell you how many I've actually finished.
Well, I haven't finished one in years. I think it's since Sunshine.
But this new one looks exactly the same as the last two that came out. So, like...
But anyway, so you'd say, out of all of them, the Mass Effect controversy
would
let you
hands
remember.
Because
it plays, for you personally, it's such a huge franchise.
And I guess maybe the only other thing I would say is that a year of disappointment in the fact that so many games got pushed from this year to next year.
Many did, for various reasons, whether trying to avoid something or what, but they're not avoiding anything because there's such a glut game. I think it's a good thing that there's so many good games coming out, but I don't know where the hell I'm going to find the time
to play
all these in 2013.
Devil May Cry could have easily been a great holiday title.
Me too, and that demo's coming out next week, by the way.
Oh, cool.
And they just announced the Virgil-only downloadable content.
And this is something that I thought about earlier today that I need to talk about on the podcast.
Well, let me get mine. Everyone knows the Mass Effect story, I agree with you, but that's only because it's personal.
Yeah.
To me, unbiasedly, I would probably... God, it's... For all of them, I think all three of those, probably the Kickstarter and the mobile, the advent of the digital releases would be what I remember outside of the Mass Effect story as well, because those are good stories. The Mass Effect one's not really a good one, but we'll see. But go ahead.
Okay, I got a little rant.
Get on that soapbox.
All right, I haven't watched the trailer for this DLC
yet.
It's
awesome.
But it's awesome. Okay, I don't doubt that it is, but here's my beef.
Devil May Cry looks really good.
It does.
Fuck, it looks so good.
My problem is this. Don't show me a trailer for DLC before you've even launched the game. Okay? That is just wrong.
I know.
Put the game out first and then tell me about the DLC. The game is a month away still.
Is it?
No, it's even longer than that.
January, right?
Yeah, it's like close to 2 months away and you've already showing me a DLC trailer? That's not cool.
Okay, it's not cool. But it's free if you pre-order the game.
Is it?
So it's not going to be super expensive.
Okay, well, that is cool.
And on top of that, Virgil is such a popular character. And I think...
We haven't heard anything. I think
honestly,
they,
if it's free to pre-order,
it is.
Then it should be just it's on the disc. I'm telling you.
Oh, probably. Because they said that all games in current development, when Capcom had this meeting, cannot take that process off. But all games past this point will be created without on-disc DLC. Yeah. I think DMC is probably the last one.
Well, and this is what I'm talking about. This DLC that we know should be on the disc or is on the disc that I paid for, and now I'm buying an unlock code.
I know.
Now, but Halo 4 has done it as well.
Who?
Halo 4. Has 9 maps on the disc that I have to buy an unlock code for unless I buy the collector's edition. Mm. I have a bit of a problem with that.
Mm.
So
but at this point it is what it is. I don't like it either.
I'm excited about Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
I think it looks great.
And
but as soon as I saw that tagline, DLC trailer for a game that's not out for 2 months.
Yeah, when I initially saw it, I thought it was just a section of the game that was already in the game.
Yeah.
But then I saw it download and I'm like, that kind of sucks. But then free to pre-order came up and I was like,
look,
that's cool.
You're excited. And I think the game
looks
awesome.
So good. But like, I think Devil May Cry 3 is probably, to me, is the best action game ever made. I've yet to play one that's
I can't make an argument for that because I haven't played it.
I just replayed the HD one.
Right.
You're crazy. I don't know how. I'm going to give it to you. It's so good. And it's challenging, but it's great.
Yeah.
But Virgil is an amazing character,
and
he's had such lasting appeal that I think they've put him in here, you know, for
fan service from the get-go.
But he looks awesome, and it's going to be. But on that topic, that game looks really good.
It does.
I still don't like the Dante redesign, but the game looks incredible, and it looks to play incredible.
Yeah,
I think outside of fighting games, I would have to say that action beat 'em ups are probably my favorite.
That's
God of War, Bayonetta,
Ninja Gaiden,
not 3.
Vanquish.
Well, that's more of a shooter.
But even I have to say, just because when you say
Vanquish, I know, but that's a shooter, third person shooter with awesome. But the action Castlevania Lords of Shadow.
Yeah.
That took these things, and I can't wait for that. See, when's that coming out?
Give me a gameplay trailer. I've been talking. Please.
Hey, Dave Cox is the lead designer.
Yeah.
On this, he's doing Mirrors of Fate.
Yeah.
For the 3DS.
God, launch that game so we can talk about it. Shadow 2.
I asked him on Twitter.
Yeah.
I asked him on Twitter. I'm like, can we see this on like the Vita or even the PSP? Because I am not going to buy a 3DS specifically for this, and I really want to play as all your Castlevania fans. He goes, never rule anything out. That's it with the dot, dot, dot. So I'm just hoping
that... that's pretty cool.
I'm just hoping that we get... I swear on everything. If that game came to the Vita, I would get one tomorrow. And another good news, PS Plus is coming to the Vita next week.
If you have a big enough memory card to handle it.
Yeah, but even if you don't own a Vita yet, you can download... Next week, 6 games are going to be free.
I was very impressed by this.
Gravity Rush, fantastic game. One of the marquee titles for the Vita is going to be free. Uncharted Golden Abyss is going to be free.
Wipeout.
Mutant Blobs Attack is going to be free. Is it Wipeout?
Yep.
And a couple others. But that's fantastic. PS Plus is a great...
very series. Strong list of games.
I've received so many free games and so many deals that my $50 a year have been paid for many times over.
Yep.
So, and you get full access to it. Matter of fact, I just got Catherine for free. Yeah.
The full game?
9 GB download, but yeah.
I want to play
I think
it.
There was a bug when the PS Store updated.
Okay.
Because, have you updated your store? Downloaded the patch?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's the redesign.
Right.
But I downloaded...
I like it so much better. Oh my god.
It's okay. It's a little laggy.
It's so much better. Yeah, it's a little laggy.
I don't know. I honestly think I like the old one better, but it doesn't matter.
I hated the old store. Hated it.
I downloaded the free 60-minute trial on the past... thing.
Right.
But now that they've added Catherine discounted, it says I've already purchased it. So I'm downloading the full game right now.
Okay.
And I think I get the full game. I think it actually honors the fact that I had it for free and it's on my downloadable list already.
Okay.
That it's carried over and now I have access to the entire game.
Well, you'll have to let me know because I definitely want to check
that
game.
I do. It's one I missed out on last year. I played the 60 minutes.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I think the story's going to be really cool.
Cool.
I like the art style.
Dude, there's so many games coming out next year.
Too many.
Like, and we don't really have time for the Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
I'm going to get Nino Kuni in January, and we're like, what?
Like, that, and that's probably a 100-hour game.
Easily.
I mean, in terms of beat-em-ups, there's DMC, Devil May Cry. There's Metal Gear Solid Rising Revengeance. There's Tomb Raider. There's Bioshock Infinite. There's Grand Theft Auto V. I'm missing, seriously, probably 6 games I can't think of right now.
Yep. I'm not.
I'm at a loss, but like I know there's
covered
way
all
more.
The ones that I'm waiting for.
There's more. I guarantee you. I just can't think of. People are probably screaming on the other end when they're still. Yeah, I can't think. Just guess your names. But anyway,
you didn't mention my game.
Yeah. But 2012's been an interesting year.
Yep.
Let's end on right now. November. What's today? 13th. 14th. November 14th, 2012. What are your top 3 games of the year right now?
Mass Effect 3, Journey, and Halo.
Halo 4.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good choices.
Yep.
If you had to pick one.
If I had to pick one, that's pretty tough.
Just make it happen.
That's tough.
Impulse.
I mean... You might
go with your gut.
You're gonna disagree with me, but I think I'm gonna say Mass Effect.
I hate you. Anyway,
I would say Journey, but it's like it's
hard to compare a 2-hour experience.
That's what I mean.
With something that's
like,
60 hours.
I'll say this, and I said this when we talked about Journey the first time. The game makes my jaw drop.
Yeah,
it's so beautiful. It's so cool, but it's so short.
I know, and it's and that'll be the hurdle when it comes to this conversation for other people.
Yeah.
But, like, iOS game, and is this the year of the bite-sized game as well? Like, everyone appeals to these mobile games. They're the thing. Well, it doesn't get much better than this in terms of a bite-sized experience that offers everything you could want in a video game.
I would have put Resident Evil higher on my list. 6.
Mm-hmm.
But...
I don't think it's making any game of the year list.
I think
for
the
anybody,
more I
but.
Play it, My opinion of it is kind of dwindling a little bit. And I think a big part of that has to do with the fact that I just finished playing Resident Evil 4 HD.
Mm-hmm.
And god damn is that game so good. And I mean, I've played it before.
Yeah.
But I finished the HD version. Yeah. That game is addictive as
it's
hell.
It's good. And it looks good.
And it's hard.
It's not easy.
It's not easy.
Ammo's scarce.
Well, I didn't have necessarily as big of a problem with ammo.
Early on in the game, I found myself
lacking
ammo.
Early in the game, for sure. Later on in the game, you can kind of abuse the checkpoint system.
Yeah.
And I'll admit, I do that. I had like 8 first aid sprays at the end of the game. But, god, man, that game is so good and so much tenser than 6.
Mm.
I mean, it doesn't have the jump at you scares, but it's got that feeling of like you're playing with your shoulders all hunched and, you know, like you're afraid to die. I wasn't afraid to die in Resident Evil 6, I'll say that. So, I still totally enjoyed 6, but after playing 4 again, I'm reminded as to, you know, why
what it's what 6 and 5 were missing, sort of.
Yeah.
For me, my top 3 games of the year right now are going to be Dishonored, Journey, and The Walking Dead series. Walking Dead series might be cheating, but... It is basically one game, and that's how most people would.
Well, sure.
It's just awesome, and I think I've yet to see how it ends. But like I was saying earlier, I think if the early episodes are any indication, it's going to be great.
Mm.
And they're going to season 2 is going to happen next year.
Oh, directly.
Yeah, they're going to go.
Well, that's
why not?
Cool.
They made so much money from it, and it's got such high praise. They'd be silly not to continue it.
Well,
but
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, to me, those are my 3 games of the year right now.
I'm still waiting for the 5th one to come out to play them all in succession.
Yeah, I'll get it, and you can just get them all from me. You're a lucky bastard.
I am a bit of a lucky
You
bastard.
Are a lucky son of a bitch.
You got Knights from me.
Knights. Yeah, and I was waiting for you to buy on Tommy, and it didn't happen, so I just went and bought it myself.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What, are you playing it?
Not yet, but I will. I just couldn't sit there and look at it and not buy it, I bought it. Okami.
I would have bought it.
I probably would have bought it
over the Christmas holidays or something.
That could be another story. HD releases, although that carried from last year too, but there were so many of them. But if I had to pick one game right now for my game of the year, I'd probably go with Journey. Just because I'm willing to overlook the length for the feeling that I got from it.
And
to me,
thing.
That is video game art. It made me feel good. And
yeah,
everything about
that game made me smile.
It's beautiful. It sounds beautiful. I think the words like beautiful and things are overdone, but this truly is artistically probably the best game I've seen this generation. It's just incredible what they did and what everything, the pacing of it and the way the music flows, the way they captured the timing and to make you feel something.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you talk about the art. If I had to pick two games with the best art this year, I'd actually pick Journey and Halo. Halo has got some of the most amazing vistas and locales and just environments, like, and reminding me of Tron, reminding me a little bit of some of the stuff we saw in Final Fantasy 13 too.
Yeah.
But
13-2 is a game, as I go by, that was a very good game.
Yep.
Did it come out this year?
Yep.
January.
Yep.
I put it in my top 10 of the year.
I absolutely would put it in my top 10 of the year.
And a lot of people shit on it, and I just wish there was a stronger cast. But I platinumed the game. I had a blast playing it.
So I mean, we're a little biased because we're big
fans. And as you people know, though, I hated Final Fantasy 13, and I still don't like it, the game. But 13-2 did a lot of good things, and it harkens to Chrono Trigger in some ways with the time traveling. The soundtrack is so good.
Yes.
It is so good. Final Fantasy has always been known for its music, but the soundtrack in Final Fantasy 13, they did. They covered on so many different tones, and it's a shame because so many people will never recognize 13-2's music. And to a lesser extent, 13, because the soundtrack's very good in that.
Yep.
That's one thing I won't take away from 13. The soundtrack's incredible. Many of the themes are taken from 13 to 13-2 and just expanded on,
sure,
or technoized,
yep,
or slowed down.
Well, that's
down.
The thing. If you have the collection, you'll notice that there might be two or three versions of a song, but they're completely different in the way that they're done because, well, when you play the game, you get a battle window coming up. The music will go into a more aggressive version of it.
One of the battle themes from 13, I think it's the overall battle theme, but they carry it over and use it in...
For Lightning.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. When she says, she's like, huh, you think you're gonna beat me? And she just walks out, you see her feet.
Yeah.
Like that. I love that music. It's so powerful and it works. And you only hear it really in that instance in 13-2 in the battle arena.
Yeah.
But to me, like I said, it's a shame that most people will never ever recognize 13-2 for its music, like other Final Fantasies, because not as many people played it.
Yeah, and again, partially probably as well because Nobuo Uematsu didn't do the music either, so...
When I think the music, I don't think Nobuo Uematsu. I think Final Fantasy.
Yep.
So, to me, Final Fantasy, music is music, and he didn't do everything. He did for some of the past ones, but the later ones, he had help.
Yeah.
In this one...
Well, like, 10 was probably the first one that he started getting help on.
I think 9 he did, too. I think 8, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll have to look, because I have the official box soundtrack of 8. But it's either 8 or 9.
This big?
Yeah, no, it is. You see it in my thing. It comes in this big sort of cardboard. It folds open.
Lots of hand gestures right now, kids.
That big! But yeah, 13-2, definitely on my top 10. And it's a good game. I really enjoyed
Absolutely.
It. I missed some of the aspects of it. And talk about beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
That's a game that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Even 13-2, say what you want. But Square Enix, in Final Fantasy, they can still make quality. Everything about the menus to...
Oh, super
the
glossy.
The title screens is quality. Like, you can't help but admire that this is the way these games... They're just on the cusp. They can make another great Final Fantasy.
Absolutely.
And I really hope they do it because I don't want to see pretty much my favorite franchise of all time, other than Metal Gear Solid, go the wayside.
No.
Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes. There's another game next year.
Is it next year?
If PS4s in 720 are coming out in 2013...
The suspected launch window for the...
Even early 2014.
Well, that's the thing. The suspected launch window for the next Xbox is... between October 2013 and spring of 2014.
That's right. But they say Ground Zeroes is undoubtedly a this generation game. Now, games have released when new systems are out.
Yep.
But I don't think this is going to be one of them. Like Final Fantasy IX came out when the PS2 was out.
You don't think it'll get delayed? to the launch of the new
system? I don't know, man. I don't know.
I mean, I'd love to see it out.
The game looks... Like, to me, I look at that game, and I'm like, why the fuck do we need a new generation? If they can do that on these consoles, and it works, my God. But that's... Also, we could also do another episode on Kojima, because the dude is a genius, and to me, he's probably the best game designer. And not just games... But obviously, engine designers and the inner workings of games.
He's super shrewd.
There is. Like... But, dude, like, that Fox engine, there's a numbers guy that I talked to who's really, he knows everything about the way CPUs and things are processed to make things easier on system. And he's saying if the way the Fox engine renders and makes the most, it's so efficient compared to the new Unreal Engine, for instance, that it's just better. By leaps and bounds.
That doesn't surprise me, really.
But, like, some people get on Kojima because, oh, his games are movies, da da da. But he's not just making games.
Yeah.
This man probably has created the most efficient and, engine to realize games that we've seen. A lot of people are going to use the Unreal Engine for games or whatever the hell there is. The Crytek engine. There's Frostbite. Which the new Mass Effect is going to use Frostbite 2, and a lot of people worry about it because it's buggy. Some people think it's buggy.
The engine.
So we'll see.
Yeah, well.
But, yeah. But anyway, there's so many things we could talk about, but we're going to wrap it up because, well, we're sort of running out of time, and we have to leave something for next episode.
Sure.
Next episode, we're probably getting into Game of the Year. We're spanning them out a bit more as the years have gone on because I have to travel to come see Don. But we might be taking the show on the road a little later. I know we've been talking about interviews for a little while, but it's something we're working on.
We're gonna start reaching out to a few people and broadening our horizons. And
And if you people have any ideas or what you'd like to see us do or hear, please let us know. Again, we're nothing anyway, but we're nothing without you people and your input and support. So, yeah, as always, get out there, listen, read our blogs on IGN, my IGN, the Canadian, but TEH. Twitter, Donovan's iRobot, i_robot, pretty much.
Yep.
I'm Jason Rose.
A.
Like A Canadian. And, yeah, thanks very much for listening, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot,
guys. As always, we appreciate it. And Crystal Veterans are out.
Yep, we'll be back in 3 weeks or less.
Yeah, peace.
Peace.